See it every day. Thank the Lord for that. If you will this evening, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's start reading with verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 12. And thy houses shall be turned unto others, with thy fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visited them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. They said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh thou to me incest from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offering are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. See right here where the people right here, they just didn't want to even talk to God at all. They weren't ashamed of anything that they'd done, all the sin that they have committed. They wasn't ashamed. But here in verse 16 it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. I believe right here, the Lord God of that day and of the day too, that he is trying to open their eyes to the understanding of what they had eventually had said, and the things that they was doing, they just wanted what everybody else had. They didn't want to work for it. We have that today. People today, they don't want to work for nothing, but they want what I have and what you have. And sometimes, and they will get it. They will get it. Just like that individual that I was talking, our neighbor, where three individuals robbed him. They didn't care anything about his life. And when an individual like that, they don't care anything about somebody else's life. They don't care anything about their own life. Because they never will understand that when they go out and when they try to do something mischief, rob somebody or tell something on somebody, or false accusers and stuff like that, they don't realize that what they do have consequences on it. Like the three men. When my neighbor's wife got out of the van, and he was still in the van, but yet they went and robbed him and beat him to a pulp. Now he fought. He tried his very best to fight them off, because hoping that they would run, hoping that somebody else that seen it would help them. We don't have people like that anymore that will step out and help someone else that's in trouble. And I think the reason for that is because the way the society has got, the way that the law enforcement has got, because really, when it comes right down to it, if you go to court and somebody broke in your house, and they go to court too, the individual that broke in your house has more of a right than I do. They won't do anything with them no more. Only thing they do, just slap them on the back of the hand. But I had a sheriff one time tell me, and he told my daughter too. He said, if somebody is knocking on your door or pulling on your door trying to get in, says, I know I'm a law enforcement and I'm supposed to keep the law. But how can I keep the law when the judges, they don't even know anything about the law? And he told us, he says, they're getting ready to come in your house, you shoot them. You can shoot them outside, but when you do, you make sure you drag them inside. And he said, no jury will ever convict you on that. He said, because I tell you, he said, we have got to get to the point that we got to we got to take care of our own. We got to take care of what we work for and what we work so hard for. He said, they're not willing to work. So if they break in your home, as far as I'm concerned, they deserve what they get. They deserve what punishment they get. And the only punishment that they're going to get is from the homeowner. Because the judges are not going to give them no punishment. And the lawyers, they're going to defend them. And the lawyer is going to make you out a liar and everything else. Because it said right here in verse, let's see. Oh man, where was it at? I know it said it down here. Where they weren't ashamed. 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they're not ashamed. They will do it right in the face of their family. They will do it right in the face of the law enforcement. They will do it right in the face of the judges. Why? Because they know that they got more rights than we do. And really, one thing I could not understand why the Democrats want to abolish the Second Amendment, the firearms. I don't understand that because they had a president, right? They had a president there for 8 years. He done everything he could to push it farther and farther to where more people would go get a concealed permit. Anytime he would come up and he would bring up the law about it, you'd see the spike in the concealed weapons permit would go up. And the arms, the guns would be skyrocketing. But see what they was doing? It wasn't the thieves and all of the robbers doing all of buying it. It was the innocent people. Because they wanted to protect their own. They wanted to protect their own. Now, I believe that when it's all said and done, before the Lord takes us home, we're liable to have somebody come in that door or come in them two doors back out. And as soon as they get inside, they're going to be waving a firearm. Why? They want everything that they can get. They don't have no respect for themselves. And you know what? We have some so-called Christians. They say that they're Christians, but they're not. They are joining up with them. And they're doing the same thing. The only thing that they want to do, they want to come in and they say, and they know that this church right here, they know where all the property is at. They know each component that is in this building. They know the music system, the mics and everything, the pews, the carpet, and even the downstairs, all the furniture,
even the piano and the other pianos downstairs, they know what's here. And they know that they can come in and take it and not have to pay a dime for it. It was a church in North Carolina, right over there in North Carolina, on the other side of Stokesdale. That's what they done at that church. One Sunday, it was four individuals that walked into that church. Two men and two women, or ladies. I can't call them ladies. Four people. I don't know if it was a husband and a wife. I don't know. Probably not. That's probably shacking up and all that. But they come in and they sat down on the back row. They stood up when they started singing the congregation song. They stood up. They sung. At the end of the service, people was going up to them, shaking their hand, and tell them, we're glad to have you today. Glad to have you. Won't you come back tonight? I said, we have just as good a time on Sunday night and Wednesday night as we do on Sunday morning. Let's come on back. And they was back at Sunday afternoon. They was back the Wednesday night. But the next Sunday, they was there for Sunday school. They was there for preaching. And they saw the people come in. And they knew that all they had to do was just take it. The thing about it was, them four was there. They had searched things out, see if it was worthwhile. Is the way I was told. But it was about 15 or 20 more people come in that other people, even if a pastor, didn't even know anything about. Had never seen them there before. And they come in. They come in and they all stayed there for a while. They all was faithful to the church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they even had a revival, and they was there for the revival. Then all the individuals went and talked to the pastor about joining the church. Hadn't been coming by 2 months. They come and talk to the pastor about joining the church. He said, well, okay. He says, I'll open the door. When I open the door, you'll know. But when I open the door, then you can come forward. And he opened the door about 2 weeks later. Three of the first individuals come up. They wanted to join a church. And they joined. And the pastor asked them, says, are you going to be faithful? You going to be faithful to this sanctuary? Are you going to be faithful to these people? Are you going to be here when the church doors are opened unless you're sick or working? They said, yeah, we're going to be here. He said, now, are you going to tithe? They said, what's that? He says, that's where you give a 10% of your income. And that helps the operating of the church for the light bill and everything. And then one individual don't have to end up forking all their money out for the light bill. I said, all right. I said, yeah. Within another month, all of the people had joined. 19. Four, and then about 15. 19 of them had joined.
You know where I'm going with this. Don't you? The next month, they come up. And they had a business meeting. And the pastor stood up here before he got it all in order and everything, before he even turned it over to where they could, you know, read the minutes and everything. And then when we took in all of the treasury report and all of that, and he just he stood right here and he says,
"Today, this afternoon, after church tonight, after the business meeting, I want the 19 people that has joined, or anybody that has joined here lately, I want you to come to the front of the church. And I'm going to have all the people in church come by and shake your hand and tell them that they're going to be praying for you."
He went then, after that, he went on and opened the server, the business meeting up. They read the minutes that was passed. Then they read the treasury report, what they had in the treasury. And then all them people was back out. They were just taking it all in. Look at this sheep, man. Look at what they'd have got here.
One of the individuals, one of them, I don't know which one, they didn't say which one it was, but one of the individuals stood up. When he stood up, he gave his testimony. He gave his testimony how much he loved God and how much he wanted to follow God and everything. And after his, then the other one got up. All 19 of them got up and was testifying, giving their testimony. How much they love God, how much they love the church, how much they love the people in the church, and how much they've enjoyed being there. And when the last one got up, said this. Says, it was something done here the other week that I do not agree with. The pastor said, "Well, what was it?" And he told him. He said, "I don't agree with that." He said, "You know, it's against God's word." The pastor says, no, that's not. I think it had to do something with some kind of, I don't know, building, I don't know what it was. But they brought it up for a vote. And they voted on it. And everything. And then the pastor said, "Sir, you're out of order." Says, Did you get the bylaws that we had?" He said, "No, sir, I didn't." He said, "We got them. You know, the people need to ask for them." Which I think, you know, if you make bylaws, if you got bylaws, and then somebody else comes into the church, joins the church, and end up being faithful to the church and everything, I think you need to end up giving them a copy of the church's bylaw. Then they can read it and see what it says. They ended up, making a long story short, they ended up going against the pastor and going against the other people there in that church. 19 people had come out with the intentions of robbing them taking the church over, and everything. That was the whole intention, and they done it. But the pastor and the deacons in the church, they wouldn't got them a lawyer. And they got the lawyer, got to checking into it and everything.
He said, we're just going to have to go before the judge and see what the judge says. And he said, the judge told him, he said, in the state of North Carolina, individuals that come into the church and join the church, they can be there 2 months, 3 months, they can be there for 5 or 10 years. But as long as there's other people in the church that's been there longer than they have, they do not have no legal right to take what they've taken. They wanted the church where they could sell it, church. Almost $1 million. Sell it, church. You think God's going to bless that church for that? No. You think God's going to bless them? No. You think God is going to bring chastisement down on them? No. Because He can't. Because they're not His own. Oh, in the book of Hebrews, he says, they are bastards and not sons. We have people today will do anything they can to get ahead. It don't make no difference how they do it. They will do it. In verse 16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. Ask for the old path. There are pastors today, there are preachers today, that are standing behind the pulpit. If they was to read that verse of scripture, they will say, ask for the old path. And they say, where's the good way? They are looking for something that they cannot get from that scripture. They say, well, we don't want to go back to the old path of when we had the wood stoves, when we had the benches and we didn't have no pews. That had carpet, that had padded seats. And we don't want to go back to when it didn't have carpet. We don't want to go back to where in the summertime the only thing that we had was the funeral fan. One time the only thing we had was an old cook stove over here. Or a pot belly stove that we'd have come down here and chunk. We'd have to put wood in it. So it'd be warm enough for the people. They says, we don't want to go back to that way. We like the good way. The good way that we are in now. Ain't what he's talking about. Ain't what Jeremiah is even speaking about. Jeremiah is speaking about right here, and I'm going to read it this way because that's what it says in the language of Hebrew. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old book. Not some of these new books or new things that they got out here for where people can understand. Oh yeah,
I'd love to pick up just a regular book and just read it and be able to kind of see what I'm reading and think about it and understand what I've read. But if I read that, and if I get to the point to where I understand what I've read, and I've got the main point out of it, I had the story of it, I can go back the next day, read it again. What am I going to get out of it? I'm going to get the same thing that I got out of it before. This is the only book. This is the only book that's ever been written by man with the inspiration of God behind it. Was breathed. God breathed upon each and every one of them men that wrote the scripture here. And when they did, they wrote it in a way to where you can look at it and you can read it and reread it and reread it. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. The old path represents the Word of God. The old path can represent the Christians fellowshipping together, not worrying about what everybody else has got. Because he didn't mention up by the covetousness. We had people back then, they didn't want somebody else's property. They didn't want that. But now you've got the governments taking property away from the individual and giving it to these companies out here. And they're not giving them what the property is worth. He's asking, Jeremiah saying, church, just let's get back to the old path. Let's get back to the old time worship. Let us get back to the old time preaching. Let us get back to the old time witnessing. Let us get back to the old time religion that will keep us in line, that will help us day by day. It will not just destroy our lives, because it cannot destroy. Did you realize that this book, nowhere in this book right here, that can destroy a Christian's life? A Christian life cannot be destroyed. A Christian can backslide, yeah. They can get out of the will of God, but when they do, what does God do? God goes right there, he goes right there and he says, all right. He goes right there and he looks at that special tree he's got out there. And he'll break off that switch. And he'll come by and tap us on the leg a little bit. Get in line, son. Get in line, lady. Get in line. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want you to get in line. I'm not going to destroy your testimony. I want you to get in line. I want you to get back to where you used to be. Why does he do that? Because he cares for us. Because he loves us. Because he loves me. And that's the only way that he will ever get my attention, is when he brings the chastisement rod to my body. And when he does, then yes, he'll get my attention. Until then, probably won't. But he will bring the chastisement. It's not, we have got,
I had it written down in the other Bible that I got. In the Word of God. I believe it's over 14,000 chapters in all the 66 books of the Bible. And I'm trying to go back and remember what I had written down for the word that's in the Bible. And I don't know why, but the number that comes to me at this time, and it might, don't hold me to it because I may be wrong, and I probably am. But I'm thinking it's around 174,000 words that is in the Bible. As far as a Christian, as for me and for you, there is no word in this Bible that will hurt us and will destroy us. There's not one in here. If we are destroyed or if we get hurt, it's going to be because of ourselves, because of what we've done. The old path. What's the old time religion? You know, if I'd have thought about tonight's before I got here, I'd have maybe got that song together where maybe somebody could have sung it, or we could have sung it as a congregation song. But I sure am glad. I sure am glad that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of my heart before the Baptist did, before the church that I hear of today did. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything against the church. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart before people could get a hold to it and give me the corrupt heart. Because it's, you know, you do have people out here that don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. But I sure am glad that I learned what to talk about. I learned to talk about my Savior and my Lord and my Father and my Comforter. I said four right there, didn't I? The Savior, the Lord, then the Father, and then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You'll go a little farther than that, we can say, well, two of the Holy Ghost too. I can keep adding them up. But I sure am glad
when that evangelist, when that missionary, Brother Rodriguez, was standing up at that pulpit, and when he was preaching, and he was pouring out and telling people, you better listen, and you better wake up, because time is getting short. You're not promised tomorrow. You may not ever be able to come back in this church again. Today is a day for you to accept the Lord. And while he was pointing that finger, I mean, it was three or four people sitting right in front of me. One of the men sitting right in front of me, and his wife and all that. Then it was me and my wife behind them and everything. And I could just see right there. I said, come on, been a wife of mine. I'm going to tell you one thing. When I get home, I'm going to take Shelby, and I'm going to take her to that bedroom, and I'm going to chew her out. I'm going to bless her out. Because there ain't no way in the world that preacher knew what he knew. And what he said up in the pulpit. He was talking about me. Now how in the world can somebody talk about you and they're trying to get you to follow them? And they're up there talking about you. I come to find out, he wasn't talking to me. As that finger went out, little finger, and I tell you one thing, he had big hands in the hand, because he was about that tall, had big hands and everything. And he pointed that finger. And I didn't realize it at the time, but when he pointed that finger, ooh, the Holy Spirit was right there on that finger. And he was guiding that finger around the individual sitting in front of me and around the other individuals that had been done it, and got right straight to my heart. He touched me. Then it was the next night, Monday night. David Riddle, Sam Joyce, and Brother Hughes come to my home. And they were just revealing to me what their preacher had already said. And I'm so thankful that it was three individuals with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was right there with them. See, they knew what I needed. They knew what they had to say. And he put into their mouth the words that would touch me, touch my heart. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can say with a surety tonight, and Father, that we're saved. And Father, that we know that we're going to heaven. We know that we're going to take that final flight one day. But it's not going to be really all that final for us, because we're going to a place where there's nothing but joy. There's no sickness. There's no eyeglasses. There's no crutches. There's no surgery. There's no hospitals. There's no nursing homes. And the reason for all of that, Father, is because we're going to have the chief physician, the only physician that we need. He's going to be there with us.
we going to be able to sit down and talk to him? And yes, and I've heard some people say, when I get to heaven, I just want to go and ask Paul what that thorn was in the side of his flesh. I'm not going to waste my time on stuff like that, because as soon as I enter heaven, I'm going to know it. And everyone else will also, because we'll have the glorified body. We're going to have the mind of Jesus. We're going to have the love that is greater than any love that we've ever experienced. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'd go with these people this week. Father, give them something that will strengthen them spiritually. Give them something, Father, that will put a spark in their heart. Give us all that little spark that we need. And Father, to where we can go and we can share the gospel. Father, help each one of us not to never be ashamed of you, that we can always share the gospel with someone. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right.